Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Calm down, Iowa State fans. I really think it's going to be okay when it comes to this report about your head coach, Matt Campbell, expected to interview with the Chicago Bears. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thanks for joining us. We cover the Big 12 Conference. Hit that thumbs up on the video. And we also appreciate you on the podcast leaving that 5-star rating and review. So came out from Brad Briggs that the Bears are expected to interview Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell. And I'm here to tell you, this one doesn't make a lot of sense for Matt Campbell. I know that NFL jobs are open for a reason. I get it. I understand it. But this one in particular makes very little sense. Unless Matt Campbell just has an NFL itch that is much bigger than a lot of us realize. That's the only way that Matt Campbell ends up taking the Chicago Bears job. Or he thinks that Caleb Williams just hasn't been used properly and is suddenly going to blossom into a massive NFL star. It could be one of those two things. Outside of that, this is not something to me that at this point makes a lot of sense. But Briggs, covers the Bears, has done it for 20-plus years. Chicago Tribune, this is not like, you know, Twitter user Bears fan 25678432 or something. This is a legitimate report. So this is likely to happen. Iowa State fans have to come to terms with that. But at the same time, at least right now, I would not be overly concerned. First off, if Matt Campbell wants to go to the NFL, and he's a very smart guy, he's been a very picky guy about the jobs that he has been interested in and the jobs that he has not been interested in. Matt Campbell, after all the offers, all the conversations that have been out there, is now suddenly going to go to what may be the best division in the NFL right now, the NFC North, where you've got the 15-2 Lions, the 14-3 Vikings. They just played each other for a division title. And oh yeah, the Green Bay Packers, Jordan Love. You've got three teams in the most loaded division, certainly in the NFC, maybe in all of the NFL. You want to go to the last place team in the best division in football right now? Why? You're also going to go to a place where you know the leash is going to be tighter because your GM, Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, has already swung and missed on one head coach. You usually only get two, especially when you're a first-time GM. You're very unlikely to get a third coaching hire in the NFL as a general manager. This will be it for the Ryan Poles experiment if he misses on his next head coach. And Matt Campbell won't survive it. How often do you see a head coach survive a GM getting canned? Basically never. So Matt Campbell knows he's tied to Ryan Poles. Now, I'm not overly familiar with Ryan Poles. I read about his background. It was not obvious to me that he would have crossed paths with Matt Campbell at any time. He was a player at Boston College. He's a young guy like Matt Campbell. He's 39 years old, so obviously a guy who's considered to be an up-and-comer in the industry. But then most of his time, all of his time really was spent in the NFL after a brief grad assistant role with Boston College back in 2008. Then he was out in Kansas City for basically 10, 11, 12 years, and he got the Bears GM job after being the Kansas City Chiefs executive director of player personnel. So that's how he moved up the ranks. But he's not a guy with a massive track record. I mean, this was his first big break. So he's going to be on a fairly tight leash, I would imagine, with this next hire. Is that the situation that Matt Campbell wants to walk into? I can't imagine it would be. Like, I know I got a lot of grief the other night when we brought up the Jets because there was a report from a Jets beat writer that Matt Campbell would at least listen to the New York Jets, which he didn't do a few years back. And I know that Jets ownership is crazy and New York's New York, and I don't think that's a fit, especially if Aaron Rodgers is not coming back. But he does at least have Iowa State guys there, which makes it mildly interesting. You've got to have the quarterback. You got to have the GM. You got to believe in the owner. Those are the things that you need to have to succeed in the NFL. Matt Campbell's not dumb. He knows that. We all know that, right? It's very rare that one of those pieces can be missing and you can have big time success in the National Football League. And Matt Campbell also knows if he's going to leave Ames, better be a damn good job. And there better be some stability there to speak of. Because if not, he's out of the NFL quickly. Now, he can go back to college. That's the thing that I think some people overlook. If he goes to the NFL and flames out, look at Matt Rhule. He can go back to college and make a boatload of money. And he'll make a boatload of money in the NFL. I mean, you know, you're getting to the point, if you're Matt Campbell, he might be there already. I don't know what kind of guy he is and how much money he spends, but you've got the money where you don't have to worry about it ever again in your life, right? If he's not there, he's damn close to it. You get an NFL job, even if you get blown out, you scratch the itch, you're back to college if you want to do it, and you're sitting on more money than you could ever spend, for the most part, for most people. This notion of, well, you know, do you want to leave and not come back? Like, I think that is overblown in large part. I do. I think it's overblown in large part. I never thought, and I don't believe, that it's impossible that Matt Campbell could one day leave. But do the Chicago Bears look like the team that is best positioned for Matt Campbell to throw away what he's got at Iowa State? I don't think so. Think being the key word. And the other thing that I would love to pick Matt Campbell's brain on, if I could get him behind closed doors, we could crack a beer and we could have an honest mano a mano conversation. I would love to know what he actually thinks about where college football is at with NIL and all the craziness happening right now in this sport. That is something I would be very curious on. Because you never know how much of Matt Campbell or anybody is like, you know what? I've actually got, theoretically, more control in the NFL over my players than I do college. Used to be the other way around. The guys who wanted to program build, the guys who wanted to be the dictator at the top, the hard-nosed, hard-assed guys, they didn't really work in the NFL with grown men. They worked in college with the young guys. Players now in college have just as much, if not more, leverage. They're on one-year deals. They can leave whenever they want. At least in the NFL, you got some semblance of a multi-year contract for most of these guys, right? So that, I don't know, but you've got to wonder how much of this grind that is now the college football offseason. It's not just coaching in the fall, right? And then, oh yeah, I got to recruit down the home stretch till mid-February or whatever it was, first February or first Tuesday in February to get to National Signing Day. And then I'm good. And then I got a little spring ball. It's like it just never ends now at the college level. You may get a few weeks off in late May to June, but then you're back to camp and the whole craziness starts all over again. Now you love it, you're addicted to it, but it just doesn't end. So you wonder how much of that is going on, right? And how much does Matt Campbell want to test his culture building style in the NFL? These are questions I don't have answers to, but these are the things I've talked about and thought about since this report came out this week that Matt Campbell was expected or is expected to interview with the Chicago Bears. Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports, we're glad you're here. Yeah, this is a good comment from Stormy Cyclone. Pete, I hope not, but I can understand it with all the headaches involved in college football. See, that's the difference in the sport in just Matt Campbell's 8-9 years in Ames. Think about what he walked into. Hey, I can develop Iowa State. I can recruit 2-3-star guys, build a program, turn them into high-level players, win conference titles in a best case scenario. Hasn't done it yet, but he's been close. And then get guys off to the NFL. Now it's like you build a guy up and then all of a sudden he's shaking you down. And I'm not saying he shouldn't want some kind of a payday. I've felt that way for a while. The players can deserve something. But you got to deal with the same thing every single year. It gets tiresome with the same exact players because everybody is on revolving one-year contracts. If you want to be a program builder, stuff like that can burn you out real fast. And I can understand that if that's where Matt Campbell is. I'm not saying it's where he is, but I can understand it if that's where he ultimately finds himself right now. But I don't think we have two reports in the span of a few days tying Matt Campbell to NFL jobs, and you should just dismiss it. I don't. I don't think that's a smart play. I don't think you should. I mean, just don't be the guy or gal that sticks your fingers in your ears and goes, la, 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 nothing to see here. Like, don't do that. I'm not suggesting he's leaving, but there's at least some intrigue here. That's got to be something that is at least admitted by Iowa State fans. Now, for the Big 12, this is not a great development. Iowa State is one of these programs that you hoped and expected to be, you know, one of the top potentially 3, 4, 5, 6 teams in the Big 12 every season. They were viewed as a team that, as long as Matt Campbell is there, was going to be able to contend. And they still should be viewed that way for as long as Matt Campbell is there. Losing him would be a big blow for the Big 12. I certainly don't want to see it. And even if you can't stand Iowa State, if you're a K-State fan or a KU fan or something like that, you want the Big 12 to be as good as it possibly can be. You need the Big 12 right now in this climate of college football to be as good as it possibly can be. And even though Matt Campbell's gotten the program to the point where I think they can backfill with a very solid coach, like look at what K-State did with Bill Snyder. I should say the second time around. The first time didn't work too well with Ron Prince. The second time around, it was highly successful. Because, yes, Bill Snyder was Kansas State football, and I'm not saying that Campbell's at the Bill Snyder level yet, but been there a decade, totally rebuilt and revamped a dead football program. They have relevancy. They have some street cred. If the NIL is decent, then they can continue to succeed. To what degree remains to be seen, but they can continue to succeed. There's no doubt in my mind. But you still don't want to lose a guy like this, right? You don't. Big 12 fans around the league should not want this. Matt Campbell's good for the Big 12. Iowa State being good is good for the Big 12 right now. So all in all, I'm watching this report. I'm seriously watching the report. I don't think that we need to be sitting here and thinking about, you know, who's next right now. I don't think that's the conversation, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on. And as some of you are bringing up as well with the Chicago Bears, Kevin Warren is their president, and all Kevin Warren seems to be focused on is getting the team a new stadium. I understand that. Kevin Warren was the Big Ten commissioner. I would argue he didn't do a very good job as Big Ten commissioner. He seems to be a guy that at times seems to be failing upwards, which we all know people like that. They just like, they fail up in life. Kevin Warren has at least the makings of somebody who fails up in life. So is that something that Matt Campbell wants to deal with when, yes, there is that big fight and focus up in Chicago on getting the Bears a new stadium and where it's going to be? Those are questions that I don't have the answer to, only Matt Campbell does. But this also might be as simple as this. The guy going out there and exploring NFL interviews and getting a feel for NFL interviews. So that way, when the right job that appeals to him does show up, he knows what he's walking into. It may just be that. Hey, they want to talk to me. I want to do this. I want to go interview. Who knows what it leads to, but I'm going to learn something from it. And that's what I said the other day about the Jets as well. So it could be as much as that as anything else. Now, speaking of football and putting a bow on the season, and listen, we've got obviously semifinal games happening in the playoff this week. It feels like the football season should be over. I know it is for the Big 12. It feels like it should be over in general. It's not, but there was something else I did want to get into here.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
And it was something to do with the conversation that I had with Tim Fitzgerald of Go Power Cat. And it was around the idea that the Big 12 does need, ideally, a team or two to find their way to being the villain at the top of this conference. As much as the parity is amazing, there's no doubt about it. The parity is great for the Big 12. It would also be great if those one or two teams emerge as the teams people chase every year, as the big bad bullies on the street corner, as the villains, whatever you want to call them. That would be good for the Big 12 Conference to have that team get figured out. Who is it? You can make the case for almost half the conference. I could make the case for Arizona State. I could make the case for BYU. Less so, but I probably could. I could make the case for Colorado. I could make the case for Iowa State, Kansas State, even Oklahoma State. I think I could do it. Texas Tech, UCF, West Virginia, Utah, the list goes on. But right now, based on how this conference is set up, who are the teams that come to mind where you say, if that team is the team that rises to the top, it's a best-case scenario for the Big 12 to have that villain at the top of this conference? The answer to me on that front is Colorado with Deion Sanders. Now, notice how I said Colorado with Deion Sanders. I didn't say Colorado. I said Colorado with Deion Sanders. Those two things have to be joined at the hip because Deion Sanders is the biggest star in college football right now. It's not a player. It's Deion Sanders. And it will be next year. Sorry, Bill Belichick is not going to light it up in post-game or pre-game press conferences at UNC. He's a 70-something-year-old guy who the most interesting part of his life is his hot girlfriend, who's like 22. Deion is the biggest star. And if you have the biggest star in your conference, and that biggest star becomes your villain, and there's a little bit of that in the Big 12, not a lot this year. This league is still feeling itself out. A little bit of that, though. You knew that teams were juiced up to play Colorado this season. There's no doubt about it. But if they have sustained success, now you might say Deion's gone then, but we'll deal with that later. If they have sustained success, Colorado's that team that got the biggest ratings in the Big 12 this year. Obviously, they were good, so that helped. But if your team with the biggest ratings also is a continued and consistent winner, that would actually be a good thing for the Big 12. And I know if you're a fan of one of the other 15 teams, you're screaming, hey, wait, what about my team? What about, whoa, I've got my team. Take care of my team. I want my team to be the best. I'm not saying your team can't challenge. I'm not saying your team can't be winning Big 12 titles. But if you want to get the team that is best positioned right now to be a villain that can succeed at the top of the conference, that brings you ratings, that brings you the bullseye on its back, that embraces that because the Big 12 doesn't have that blue blood. It doesn't have that Texas. It doesn't have that Ohio State. Doesn't have it right now. Doesn't have Alabama. Then Colorado makes the most amount of sense as anybody. In fact, it makes more sense than anybody else right now. It's got to be one of those larger state schools in this conference, most likely, that can set that up, right? That can embrace that role as well, because a lot of these teams would not be comfortable in that role. Like, I want to say it's Oklahoma State, but Mike Gundy's such a character. Is anyone ever really going to, like, hate Oklahoma State? Really? Like, is that ever going to be a thing? And the other problem for Oklahoma State is that they're always going to be, and I say this lovingly, and this is going to bother a lot of Cowboys fans, But at least for the foreseeable future, no matter how mediocre Oklahoma is, they're still going to be playing second fiddle in most people's eyes in their own state. And that's something that you really don't want out of your villain, out of your bad guy, out of your team and your conference with that bullseye on its back. And that's why it can't be a team that already is viewed at as number two in its own state. That's why it can't be an Oklahoma State. I don't think it could ever be a Baylor or a TCU, largely because they're private. It works better in basketball for that. Like if it's a Duke, then it does in football. Texas Tech is a sneaky team out there on the plains of West Texas that maybe could find itself in that role. But listen, they've got to start getting over that hump of 7-8 wins. That is a ways away from happening. But you can see a world where Texas Tech embraces that role and becomes that team to some degree. And as I've said for a very long time, but I've said it most recently since West Virginia turned over its head coach and brought in Rich Rod, West Virginia football being elite would be enormous for the Big 12. And Big 12 fans don't really get that because we've never really seen West Virginia be elite. But as someone who used to live back east and, you know, was around the Big East for the Pat White days and then the Will Devine days, West Virginia being a top 10 team is electric for college football. It's a top 25 program historically. It is that state's sporting culture. There's nothing that tops the Mountaineers in that state. And that's the kind of program that can be a difference maker for this conference if they can consistently be at the very top. So those are the conversations that I think will be interesting as we enter the offseason on the football side here on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. It's great to have you here. Pete, does that mean it can be Cincy because it's in Ohio and you have Ohio State? No, I think my Oklahoma State analogy makes it very clear that you can't be the second tier team in your state and be considered the villain. You can't be the second tier team in what is perceived as, right or wrong, the second tier conference and then put the bullseye on your back. I don't think it works, which is why I keep coming back to Colorado in that spot. Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Great to have you here. Thank you for being a part of the show. As always, if you haven't yet, make sure you're subscribed. Helps us tremendously. We appreciate you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us as always. And we will talk to you very soon. We've got basketball going on all week. We will recap that this weekend. A lot of games happening, a lot of action happening, and we'll do it all on heartlandcollegesports.com. Have a great day.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.